Hello, this is Jacqueline Sanders Blackman bringing you another espresso sip, some real talk around Project Rescue, about the things that just really interfere with the success of software development projects. I want to share with you some of my experiences and insights so that you can avoid them. Let's not repeat the same mistakes, and just wanted to make it a little less painful. I'm an agile coach at the enterprise level. I help coach other coaches. I help coach scrum masters and just also coaching the leadership in general. Anyone that has kind of that influence to the team, direct or indirect. And one of the things as a coach, I try to impart upon the groups and organizations that I work with, because my goal is to get in there, help them, you know, revitalize or rejuvenate, even recenter the way of working that they've established. And sometimes it's a small tweak, sometimes it's a major tweak, but at the end of the day, helping them really kind of optimize and get the results. So many people are pursuing Agile, Scrum, Scaled Agile, Kanban, that whole gamut of different ways of working. And they feel like they've checked all the boxes, but they don't see the big improvement. And so they're baffled. And so I like to come in on short engagements and help kind of give a few of those little hidden nuggets that make a big difference. Some of them is the different nuances, the soft skills. And because we can read a book, we can watch a video, and we can check the box as far as frameworks and ceremonies and artifacts, and that's all necessary. But then when you stop and you're trying to figure out, but I'm not there. I can see some of the improvement, but I know or I hear about really where the Agile teams are really high performing. And how do you get to that level? And that's when you've got to get to some of the soft, gushy stuff in the middle. If you think of an M&M, you got that hard outer shell. Well, you break through all of that, but you got to get to some of the more intangibles. And what I mean by that, some of that hits at the heart of mindset and culture. You often hear that in Agile, but what does that mean? So I actually want to give you a very specific example and something that I use. I get asked a lot of times that if someone is coaching the team and the team feels like they're giving you every reason why they can't make this adjustment, don't want to make this adjustment. You often hear things like, oh, we've tried that before. And that for them is a showstopper. If we tried it once, we're never going to try it again. We've already proven it won't work for us. You know, you get all of the reasons why the environment is different or the culture at that particular organization is different. So the typical Agile doesn't work for us. It could be the type of work. There's a lot of different things that people can say, you know, just throwing out, hey, I worked somewhere else and we didn't do it that way. That's as if that just shuts down the conversation. And for some, as a coach, you can't let that stump you. If you know that based on where we are now in this moment, it's time to try even something that they've tried before, because you know in the long run, it's in their best interest. Prime example, story pointing. Yes, I'm back to that topic. We haven't steered far from that if you listen to the last couple of episodes. But story pointing, again, teams say, oh, we've tried that before, you know, or I even hear, well, we've been together for a long time and we work well together. And at that same time, when people are saying that, I'm assessing the team and looking at, oh, we've got a new member or we've got a couple of new members. The team is growing. Well, just because a couple of the people have worked together for a while, when you bring in new dynamics, when you try and scale it, you've got to revisit, and sometimes even the people that have been there a while have to step back in order to accommodate their new team members. It goes back to something that I've said just recently in a podcast. You've got to make sure that you're not coming from a selfish perspective. You've got to do some things for the good of the team, which actually takes me directly to how to handle those situations as a coach, as an influencer. And this is going to sound super simple, but I just tell them the truth. I tell them that I and sometimes that kind of catches people by surprise when they tell me whether we've tried it before or, hey, we work well. You know, one of the things that I'm going to say is, you know, in this particular situation, I agree with you, number one, and you are maybe going to feel like you're stepping backwards, and that's okay, because it's for the good of the team. And oftentimes, just that kind of combination, first of all, acknowledging what they're saying and telling them they're right, and it does feel that way, that's the reality. That sometimes you gotta step back to go forward in a more productive way, especially when you're scaling something or when new people are coming and going, when the dynamics of the team are changing, or even the type of project you're working on is changing. Everything that might have been already negotiated is back on the table for renegotiation, because we've gotta take all the new parameters into consideration. That's something that I saw a lot of teams not do when we went to COVID and we went into quarantine. They were still operating under the rules when we were face to face, and we needed to bring all that back and put it on the table and renegotiate that. So teams that had negotiated, well, we don't need daily stand-ups. Well, because there was a significant parameter in the dynamics of the team that had changed, we need to pull out those working agreements. There's something that I advocate, which is every quarter you should be just reviewing your working agreements and maybe vote on however many things that the team feels like, hey, we need to revisit and renegotiate. And even sometimes if it only gets one vote, that might be significant enough that if it's not working for one team member, we need to have the attitude, it's not working for the team. And so it's worth a conversation. It's not just about majority rules and everybody else has to be dragged along. Because what I find is, let's say you have a couple of older team members, the new one or two new team members might join, your vote is going to be different than everyone else's. But is that to say, hey, you just got to keep up? This is the way we've been working. You got to fit in our world. They now are a part of your world. They're now part of the team. You and your organization agreed, hey, they are a valuable contributor, or will be a valuable contributor to the team. So it's up to the team to embrace them. One of the ways is to open up your working agreement and to say, hey, take a look at this. Hey, spend some time with us, and then let's set a date, maybe two or three sprints after they've been onboarded and acclimated, and let's have a conversation and welcome them in the conversation, welcome some of their ideals, and be willing to revisit some things that maybe you all felt like we don't need these anymore, but maybe even if it's for a time period. Recently had a significant member of the team, such as, let's say, the product manager or a new scrum master or even a new, you know, a tech lead. Someone new joined the team And then, and that person had just asked, well, you know, do you guys do daily Zoom stand-ups? They said, no, we voted on that a while ago. We don't do that. But this particular person felt like, hey, since we're all remote, this is a one way that I have the opportunity to kind of get to know my teammates. Otherwise, there may be a long period stretch of time before I even get to work with each and every one of you. And I'd like to kind of, you know, this is just 15 minutes a day. And let's time box it. Let's make it 2 weeks or two sprints or three sprints. And then we can go back to, if we want to go back to the LinkedIn stand-ups or the every other day, whatever the team originally. But is the team willing to revisit it? So me as a coach, if that team and I, you know, said, no, we're not going to revisit it, in whatever nice way that they wanted to frame it, I've got to kind of, that's a teachable moment. Whereas, you know what, maybe only one person asking for this, and they may have the lowest seniority, but all things considered, I think that this is a non-negotiable. It's got to, you have to take this into consideration. And then the negotiable part is, okay, do we want to try this for a sprint and then check in and see, did that meet their needs? Or do we want to check in every two sprints or three sprints? You can set parameters so that it doesn't have to go on indefinitely. But what you can't do is not offer them some olive branch that helps meet their needs. And if a team doesn't understand that aspect, then they probably are struggling when it comes to when product management is asking for something. Because the nature of Agile is that there should be ongoing conversations. And when there's new information or new dynamics, new parameters, then we renegotiate. So Agile is not just something that you apply to when you're talking about the product and the solution. It also applies about your way of working, your team dynamics. And so very, very, that's just the one thing that just want to reiterate over and over. Number one, that as a team, when you're talking, when you're negotiating, it cannot come from a selfish place. And as coaches, we've got to be very honest and say that, yes, even though something may be difficult, uncomfortable, not your favorite thing in the world, or not your ideal situation individually, but it's going to benefit the group, we need people that are willing to take one for the team. That a part of work is that there's sometimes there's things that aren't fun. That's why it's called work. we absolutely, everyone should enjoy their job. Everyone should have some parts of their job that they're passionate about. But there's always going to be that 10 or 15% that isn't your favorite part. I get it that there are some engineers that just would like to sit at home, or back when we were in person, sit in their cubicles with their headphones on and nobody bother them. By and large, if you work in an organization that is doing Scrum, Scrum is team-based, then you're not at the right organization. And you can even have the label on your job role called individual contributor, but you're an individual contributor to a Scrum team. So are your contributions benefiting the team, not you as an individual? There's two different, that's two different mindsets altogether. I remember a brand new, we were getting feedback. We were doing 360 feedback. And the newest team member had just gotten hired. And they were saying that they felt like there were a lot of meetings. We have a lot of ceremonies. And I thought it was interesting that the new person being the most vocal about it. And they said, when I took this job, I just wanted to code. My job description, it referred to and asked me and was looking for my technical coding and programming skills. So why do I have to attend all of these meetings to talk about what we're working on? And my answer, pretty straightforward. I said, well, it started with a question, which as a coach, that's important. Ask and get clarification. I said, now your job description, did it mention Agile? Did that not come up in your job description? And we actually had access to pull it up. And it did say an Agile engineer in an Agile environment, several times mentioned Scrum. And I said, when you were going through the job interview and the process, did you have understanding of Agile and Scrum? Because one of the requirements was that you had Scrum experience. And the person said, yes, I do have Scrum experience. I said, well, then that's right there told you and was setting your expectations for what this environment was. So even though you were hired for a specialized position within the team, that's your core skill, but it always indicated that you were going to be working with a team. A team has to communicate. And when we're not sitting face to face, then by and large, Zoom is the way is our opportunity and our tool of choice for talking, communicating, huddling, both informally and formally. So, coaches, sometimes you've got to be the bearer of bad news. And it's the way, again, it's so important as coaches, do you understand the value proposition of why these things have to be done? Because I'm going to give it to you straight. This needs to be done because this is the benefit. Now, let's be clear, no matter how straightforward and how you lay it out and how you answer people's question as to why we have to do things, I'm very clear on there are many times that they don't like the answer, no matter what the answer is. It's not that you haven't given them the why, they don't like the answer. And at that point, then let's address that. Because at that point, again, this is a very key term. There are some things that are non-negotiable. We are a Scrum environment. We are a Scrum team. We've got to put team first. This is together is how we're successful. We're not going to go back to or not support, renegades or the Lone Ranger, people going off and, into silos, isolating themselves from the team. That's what we're not going to do. So then there's a decision. Is this the environment for you? So, and sometimes you can say that without saying it. I've kind of left that lingering as the next logical piece of the conversation without actually saying that. But again, there has to be things that this is our environment. That is non-negotiable. With the right, again, as a consultant and an outside coach and contractor, I'm going to take it right to the edge of that conversation. And then I'm going to look for the sponsorship or my champion within the organization to understand that here's a crossroads. Whether people are wanting to come with us on the journey of where you envision and where you want this team or group to go and to mature. Otherwise, it's not just affecting them. They're going to hold back the whole team and the whole process of maturing your organization. So I hope you got a couple of nuggets out of that. But one thing that I will say, do not sugarcoat. It's okay to be honest. It's okay to let them know. Some of the things are going to be painful, but I've got to leave you with the adage, no pain, no gain. Even in Agile, it's not all fun and games. There's things that we can do, but sometimes you got to really kind of just lean into your discomfort to get to the point where you get to the payoff. If you never lean in and nothing's not ever comfortable, you're never going to get growth. And that's where I'm going to end for today. Thank you for listening. I'm Jacqueline Sanders Blackman. Look for me on LinkedIn at Jacqueline007. Talk to you next time.